Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
Well, this is a bonus episode with Hamish Brewer. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Hamish Brewer, we explore a number of interesting topics like the story of relentless learning. Do you make work meaningful? You can't serve when you think you're better than everyone else, and how kids' behavior is feedback. Side note, one of my personal goals for the podcast is to add upgrades to each episode. So Hamish and I collaborated on a top 10 ways to become a relentless leader, and you could download that at betterleadersbetterschools.com/Hamish-Brewer or click the link in the show notes. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an amazing free resource for all listeners of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. It's the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. And that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you get the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I always say this, that I'm so excited, and that's genuine too, because I'm always excited to be speaking to an incredible leader on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. But today, I'm absolutely thrilled. Like, my hair is on fire because I have Hamish Brewer on the line. I met him at the Philly Principals Conference in 2017, and we just clicked. You know, you meet those people that are sort of cut from the same cloth, so to speak, and a friendship formed. And I couldn't be more excited to have him on the show. If you don't know Hamish, when the name Hamish Brewer is mentioned, a number of words come to mind: relentless, innovative, maverick, and loyal. Brewer's a visionary unfazed by conventional leadership and educational practices and theories, which leads him to push boundaries and challenge archaic processes and practices. As a leader and speaker, Brewer's considered an inspiration, innovator, and motivator by those who have met, watched, or listened to him. Hamish is an award-winning Title I principal, a nationally distinguished principal, and has seen his school award the nationally distinguished Title I school designation. He has over 20 years experience serving as a classroom teacher, administrator, international education director, and an education consultant in the U.S. and abroad. Brewer is a highly regarded and sought-after keynote and conference speaker on key educational topics from school improvement to engaging practices, motivation, and best performance practices. Brewer is a high-octane in his approach to children, teachers, and his community. He has been nominated for numerous leadership awards for his visionary approach and results in education. He's currently a principal in Prince William County, one of the largest divisions in the country, helping in best practices and advances in the implementation and use of technology. Hamish, welcome to the show.
What's up, Danny? What's up, my man? Good to see you, hear you.
Man, this is awesome. So thank you so much for scheduling time to connect today.
Nah, man, it was easy, man. It's my privilege, man. I'm humbled to be on your show with you. You're one of the best in the game, bro.
I appreciate that. So tell me, we got to start at the beginning. What inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Oh, man, you know, it's crazy how that happened, man. I kind of fell into it a little bit. You know, I was at school and I was really struggling academically. And some of the things that I really loved about what I was doing back in the day was I wanted to travel. And I saw teaching as a way out of the cycle I was in. I saw it as a way out, an opportunity to travel and see the world, man. I wanted to see the world. And I thought if I could teach and travel wherever I went. But the funny side of the story is I went to an all-boys school, and I'd repeated some years because I failed pretty miserably academically. And it was time to move on, you know, and they're looking for a way to move on. And I remember the counselors got a fax. Back in the day, you used faxes, right? And we got a fax, right, bro. The fax said applications for teachers college. And I said, well, how about I do that? And she said, well, maybe you're not quite smart enough to do that. You got to have a few more academics. And I said, well, you know what happened when she said that? It was on. At that point, I was...
It was a challenge.
So I applied for Teachers College, and there I go, man. And I've just always been drawn to education, to kids, things like that. But I wanted to travel the world, man. I wanted to make a difference.
Yeah, and you're definitely doing that. You have your website. You know, you've launched Relentless Learning. So can you tell us a bit of the story of starting Relentless Learning?
Yeah, man, it's been an organic trail, bro. It's just kind of taken on a life of its own, you know, the whole relentlessness. You know, I've always been a maverick. I've always gone 100 miles an hour. And, you know, often I'm like a bull in China, you know, and that's just kind of stuck. And it's morphed into this relentlessness and everybody recognizing me as the relentless principal. And it's taken on a life of its own. But, you know, the relentless learning piece came out because people were asking for stuff, man. People want to hear more. I think that people in education, they want that right now, man. They want to hear from people doing it different and getting results at the same time. So it really morphed over time, and we're just running with it now, man. Running with it.
Can you dig into that piece a bit? Because I think, and I know that's why a lot of people like to work with me, listen to the show in the podcast or work in my mastermind, right? And that's because I'm different than the traditional educator as well. But I want to see us serve schools at a high level and impact the kids in a big, big way. So what does it look like to do things differently and still get results, you know, in your experience?
Well, you know, I think it starts with just the simplicity of not being able to say no, or not having the vocab of can't. You know, can't's not in my vocab. No's not in my vocab. You know, we're trying to give people the green light all the time to be amazing. And it starts right there. You know, I think educators have become suppressed. Educators are cooped up in this square box. And I think people want to break out and they don't quite know how. And they need some models on how to break out, you know, and get after it like that. And so I think it really starts down on a simple level that, you know, people today, they want to be part of something special. They want to be part of something where they're making a difference. You know, people want to go to work and it be meaningful. People don't turn up today wanting to just do nuts and bolts and just cross T's and dot I's. People today live for something special. They want to have a legacy. And so, you know, I really tie into that, man. What do we want our legacy to be? What do we want to be remembered for? And people are drawn to that, man. They want to be remembered for something. You know, they want to make a difference. They want their life to be meaningful. And when they leave their footprints in time, man, it stood for something. You know, they didn't waste their time, man. You got to live a full life, you know. And I think people are drawn to folks like us because it's real. You know, we just keep it real.
Yeah.
And we talk straight about it, man. We don't dodge it, man. I loved when we first connected in Philly. And for the first time in a long time, I came across somebody that kept it real, challenged me back in a healthy way, talked on a level where, you know, we really wanted to unpack stuff and really have a meaningful dialogue. And I think our students are craving that meaningful dialogue as well. You know, students can tell when they're getting ripped off, or students can tell when they're not being heard, you know, they don't have a voice. You know, we live in a world where people want meaningful dialogue now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. There's like, all right, I got like 20 follow-up questions. I'm trying to think of which one to ask first. So we want work to be meaningful, right? I know that the staffs we lead want to make an impact, and you talked about legacy. And then I think of myself, listen, I didn't think I would be doing Better Leaders, Better Schools full time this quickly. And I wanted to at some point because I knew I could impact so many more leaders, therefore so many more kids. And that gets to my why and my legacy. The door was open, so I stepped through it. Kids want the same thing. They crave that authenticity. They want meaningful work done within the school as well. So I'm just curious, you know, you talked about hearing kids too, and it's easier said than done. And I'd love if we could get practical, like how do you see and how do you hear your kids and your staff and then connect those dots to make what you do meaningful? Because so often the temptation of school leadership or leadership in general is just checking the box, making sure the boat stays afloat, without really moving the organization forward and doing something inspiring. Man, but you do it.
Dude, bro, that's because education has become like a textbook, bro. It's page one to page 100. Let's don't skip pages, man. We got to throw that thinking out. It's archaic. You know, you want to get practical? You want to get practical? We got to get into authentic, relevant learning experiences, man. Our children are going to be solving the problems of the world right now, not yesterday, bro. It's like when people talk about, hey, it's 21st century learning. What? We've been in the 21st century for 18 years now. Like, where have you been, bro? Like, where have you been? Let's go, man. We got to change the game. So I get fired up, man, about that whole, we got to change the game, change the thought process, man. If we change our instructional processes where kids are following up and chasing after questions, you know, like, you got a question on the topic or the curriculum? Let's chase the learning through the question or through the problem solving or through the community partnership or through your legacy, man, through the characteristics of being better people, man. What are we growing our students for, bro? Are we growing our students to be factory, you know, to come out on a factory line or something? We ain't no factory line, bro. We're creating a legacy of game changers, of kids that are going to go out in the world prepared to tackle it, man, prepared to collaborate, communicate, man, and be competitive. Like, we got scared of kids being competitive, man. Kids being competitive is an authentic experience, man. They get to work on fire, man. We want our kids to succeed. You know, we want to give them those tools. And if we're giving them the tools through a workshop or through a worksheet or through a textbook, man, we're failing them, bro. We're failing them. It's like kids, when we talk about, hey, send them home with 2 hours of homework. Man, the learning don't take place when you get home. The learning takes place during the day with us, man. We're the educators. They go home, they should play, they should hang out, they should be kids. You know, they should communicate with their peers and have fun and then get back to business, back to work the next day, man. And it's okay to get results that way. You know, we're getting results through that authentic, relevant learning experience, man, where we're really digging down into the learning and kids are having an opportunity to like own their learning and ask questions about their learning, you know. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying this to people all the time, man, the kids' behavior, that's feedback, man. That's feedback to us as adults. What are we doing with that feedback, man? When you start listening to your kids, and you start hearing what their interests are, what fires them up, what gets them sparked. Dude, we're about to blow up this whole, we got a whole production radio station about to blow up at our school, man, live at the Hive, because the kids were fired up about it, man. They want to tell their stories. My kids come from low socioeconomic, high poverty, man, and they got stories, man. Wait till you see our stories hit. So think about that, man. We're rapping and ripping our lines through their stories, through their poetry, through their talking, man. And you know what? That's a grade. You know, how are we giving out grades, man? Grades are not like an effort grade, man. Grades are what they do with their academics, man, what they learn, you know, and how did they learn it? How do we go about it? And teachers are on fire when they get to teach that way. Instead, we got this chaos where we got like teachers reinventing the wheel, man, with the curriculum, rewriting the curriculum. Forget that, man. We don't got to rewrite the curriculum. The curriculum's written. Teach the curriculum, but teach it with an authentic, focused, laser-focused intention. Be intentional about our teaching and be intentional about our school, you know, like, you want to talk about relevance? What's on your wall, man? What's on your wall? The words, the pictures, the visuals. Your school becomes the expectation you set for it. Your students become the expectation that you set for them. And next minute, before you know it, man, momentum takes over and it's crazy.
Yeah, I really don't want the listeners to miss that point. The kids become the expectations you set for them. And I'm only really thinking about this because as we're recording this, I know that I'm about to release this episode 127. It's about race and equity in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, the guest was just talking about his high school experience, which was similar to mine, and where we were white students that were effectively isolated from our peers, our students of color. And, you know, it was weird as a young person trying to understand, like, what the heck is happening. Now as an adult, you know, I understand it more. But what's even worse is he's still connected to that high school. He has a friend that teaches there. The administration still tells the staff, focus on these kids over here. Ignoring. Yes, they do that. And the worst part about that is because it's all about expectations. And you know, and I know, when we have those high expectations, no matter what that kid looks like in front of us, they meet those expectations.
That's the truth. You know?
So I really want to impress that onto our listeners in that line that you shared too, that kids' behavior is feedback. Because it used to frustrate me so much when behavior was, you know, quote unquote, unruly or out of control or poor behavior. But a lot of times that's just feedback because your classroom experience sucks.
That's the truth, man.
It's not relevant.
It's not rocket science, bro. You're not making that up, dude. Like when I was at school, I was failing at school because I wasn't engaged and nobody saw the feedback I was giving them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then, you know, dude, I take it to this level, man. I have not met a student that can't learn, man. I have not met a kid that can't learn. I believe that every single child can learn. Now, their journey may look different. The journey looks different for everybody, but that doesn't mean a kid can't learn, man. And we have to do everything in our power to help that student be as successful as possible. You want to talk about relentless, bro? I'll go through a brick wall for my kids. There is nothing I won't do for my kids because I know and believe that every single one of them can learn. And now I'm their hope, bro. I'm their expectation. And they got to turn to me. I have to be the answer. I don't opt out, man. We don't negotiate on our kids. If you're negotiating on kids, you have no business being up with kids.
I don't know about you, but I had enough on my plate just thinking about how to operate a building and how to develop my people. That was enough. And that doesn't even include parents. That doesn't even include student issues. And it definitely doesn't include where am I going to find the funding to run all the great programs my students deserve. Well, the great news is I have an amazing free resource for you, the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2017. That's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. In this guide, you will be exposed to the best fundraising ideas for schools in 2017. And my favorite company that's described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. The reason School Spirit Vending rises above the rest is because they make fundraising so incredibly hassle-free. What if a company would come in, install vending machines with customized stickers. That's right, stickers that had your logo, that had your mascot, that had whatever you and your students wanted installed. They come in, they take care of the machines. You do no work besides having the machines installed in the school, and you get a cut of the profit. That's where you're going to find money to actually run these programs. So check out the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com and definitely give School Spirit Vending a call. Tell them Danny Sunshine sent you. So you got this Live at the Hive that has you fired up, and that gave us a little insight into what gets you fired up in terms of authentic and relevant learning. And another thing I want to impress upon the listeners too, you don't need answers for every question. Sometimes you just need to have better questions and listen to the feedback. And so, you know, you figure out what kids are interested in, and then as a leader, make it possible for them to explore that interest or solve that interesting problem. So you got Live at the Hive going, but what are some other things that you see that are authentic and relevant that have you fired up at your school?
Oh, bro, over the years, man, we've done a lot of stuff, man. We've done a lot of stuff over the years, you know, from going deskless, man. We changed the landscape of what the classroom and the school looked like, man. These archaic desks and rows don't work no more. You know, that's not how the world looks. You know, that's such a deep question because it's so layered from the facility, the environment, to the instruction, to the resources, man. We've done it all, man. For instance, I did the whole one-to-one program but where our one-to-one mm-hmm. program was successful was it had personalized internet, man. We had personalized, individualized internet for every child in the school, my previous school we were at, man. We blew that up, man. We changed the game with that. And then we had our tribal system where we've created community, man. A school that has community and has a focus, man, has direction. Like, for instance, you know how we're doing that here at Fred Lynn, man, at the Hive? What we're doing this year is, man, I made sports, for instance, an opportunity to build community. We have after-school sports, evening sports, man. So you know what I did? I made it all free. Instead of charging parents and community to come in to watch their child play and participate in their school, you know what I did, man? I made it free. Everybody gets to come. And next minute, before you know it, there's not an empty stand in the house We're filling the stands, man. We're creating community and we're getting loud. We're telling the world we're coming for them, you know, because our school wasn't a school that everybody wanted to talk about. When people want to talk about our school, they didn't have nothing good to say. Now we showed the world, man. We're telling the whole world we're coming for everybody and we're coming through them for these authentic experiences, you know, like even down to like some of the classes, like our woodwork class, man. Like schools have got away from some of these orientations of classes where they get to do manual stuff like the small engines and the wood shop, man. We're looking at a sports institute for our kids where what we did, man, was we took CrossFit. We provided a free CrossFit program for all of our kids at the Hive. And so our kids are training yes. after school. So instead, if a kid gets in trouble, you know what they do? They got to join the boot camp. They got to join the CrossFit with our Occoquan Bay partnership, man. The Occoquan Bay guys come in. He was an ex-Marine and trainer of officers. So I'm putting the best in front of my people. And right now we're working on a partnership with UFC, man, where people are talking about working hard. One more round. We don't quit. And so we got those things happening. And then where we went to kids with our IB program, man, our community-based projects, instead of making the community-based project a side thing, it's the core, man. It's the middle of instruction, working our curriculum through that, you know? So the building and working in their community, reaching out to our business partners and letting kids skateboard and coming up with these concepts where kids can be kids and own their school. Oh, dude, you got me on fire now.
Well, and here's the thing. So, you know, longtime listeners know that, okay, I run masterminds, but part of what gives me credibility is I've invested and participated in a mastermind longer than I've run my own. And that's for my own personal professional growth. And the connection here is that my mentor, Aaron Walker, he teaches us, okay, success is important. A lot of us want that. But much more important is that significance piece. And I just read a book by Tony Robbins, Unshakable, which has to do with investing and making money through mutual funds. Well, the last chapter, Hamish, has nothing to do with money. It's about living a rich life with your family, living a rich life, you know, spiritually and personally and all this kind of stuff. And so when you say that the core is through serving, that's what life is about. Service, giving, generosity. It's not about, you know, what you can score on that economics test. Who cares? Who cares if you know it all make a lot of money if you're poor in spirit, if your heart is dark?
Yeah.
You know, like what's the point?
Yeah.
And so you're getting it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, man. It's not about how many Twitter likes or how many Twitter friends you have and all that stuff, man. It's about the legacy you leave, man. It's about serving people. Like I keep telling people, they're like, what's the secret of your success? Well, a huge part of that is because I put everybody before me. I make it about everybody else, man. I want to make my teachers the greatest teacher they can be, because if I help them be the best that they can be, the most amazing person they can be, then they're going to do the same for my kids. And when you make it about your kids, your parents, your community, man, there's no greater life to live than living a full life of family like that.
Exactly. There's a quote, I won't quote it specifically, but the idea is you can have anything in life you want as long as you help others get in life whatever they want. And that's exactly what you're doing.
And bro, you know what?
Hey, so
I got one more question for you too, man. You can't serve anybody that you think you're better than either. How about that?
Oh, so stay there. I mean, I'm glad you brought it up. How did you uncover that truth?
How did I uncover that truth, man? Because I became a much better leader when I started realizing if I built capacity around me, it wasn't about me, man. It wasn't about having the biggest, being the biggest personality in the building or being, you know, I used to think it had to be all about me, that I was the principal, man. I had to run the show. I had to do this, that. Nah, man. The minute I figured it out and I built capacity, I built the gang, man. I built the all-in mentality where everybody owned it. When you become that gang mentality, man, when you can't be me, us against the world, man, have the people in the trench and build each other around each other, powerful, powerful movement happens, dude. When I learned to build capacity and let everybody own and shine, that's when great things happen, man.
So good. And the reason I ask is because I can relate. And as a younger leader, I often pointed fingers at what was wrong, what wasn't going well. And inside, or I would even say, I could do this so much better, you know? And some of that is an incredible confidence that I have in myself. But going unchecked, you know, and not having people in my life that can say, dude, you're full of it. You know, you've been doing this for, you know, this amount of time, or that's just a terrible idea. Without having people that can give me that honest feedback, my ego would just be way out of control.
Yeah, man.
And that's why I was interested, because often, you know, I can do that. And on my worst days, I still do those things. And so I was just curious about that for a second.
Yeah, man.
So
I was going to say, a little bit of part of it for me, Danny, is I also live in fear of everything disappearing, man. I live in fear of losing it all, man. So if I build capacity around everybody, it helps, you know. And like I said, man, it became okay, you know, when I made it about others and not about me, you know.
And that helped you, I guess, live with the tension of you know, what if this fails or something?
Yeah, man.
I hear you. Because then, yeah, if you're building others around your team, making them stronger, it's like, how are we going to fail if everybody else is getting built up?
Yeah. And, you know, the one bit I do like about what you said, man, I think every great leader has that person that can keep them humbled, keep them grounded. You know, like I'm working on my doctorate at Virginia Tech right now with Andy Jacks. A lot of people know Andy Jacks. And
we work
really hard together, man. We keep each other grounded. All my dad's his principal crew. Everybody keeps each other in check, bro. Like, before you get too ahead of yourself, or that person you can bounce an idea off and say, man, this is what I'm thinking, or working through a scenario, you need to build as a leader, a good, strong leader. You need to build, you know, your future is who you hang out with. And who you surround yourself with, man. If you surround yourself with people that can keep you in check, could grow you, nourish you, and hold you accountable, then the sky's the limit.
Exactly. And then I often share this quote, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And of course, I want everybody that listens to this podcast to join my mastermind. I would love to coach them and work with them and help them grow as a leader. But if it's not that, you got to plug in somewhere. So selfishly, yeah. I want you to work with me. But more importantly, I want you just to plug in. So is that dads as principals, moms as principals, lead up chat, that crew is awesome. Principals in action, kids deserve it. All these different groups are incredible, and you need to get plugged in.
Yeah, man. And there's so many ways to get plugged in today. There's no excuse, man. There's no excuse for not being plugged in, you know, with Voxer and Twitter and everything else that's out there. It's never been more easy to learn, to be plugged in, to get help than ever before. You know, I vox with a lot of folks on the side, man, and just the nourishment of touching base with each other, you know, when you touch base with everybody from Eric Elwad to Adam Welcome and Todd Ness Alley and them, man, it just changes you. It changes how your perception, it changes your outcome.
So,
and you know, Danny, I've got to throw this out there, man. I know two people, for instance, that have done your masterminds. They've done your mastermind, man, and you know me, man, I'm going to keep it real. I'm not going to tell you something that I don't believe, something I wouldn't tell anybody. And they rave, absolutely rave about your mastermind program and how they've used it to grow as leaders, man. My buddy, I didn't even know he was in it. My buddy was in it. I didn't even know. And next minute, he's talking about it. I'm like, dude, that's on fire.
Yeah, I love Nick. That's awesome. So, yeah, we connected. And it's weird how small the world starts to shrink, you know? But, yeah, he's an absolutely incredible addition to the group for sure. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Hey, so you know, that video about being a tattooed skater principal that's making education fun again. I mean, I looked that up on YouTube again just to enjoy it one more time. It's almost at 100,000 views, I think, and it blew up on Facebook. You know, it's pretty viral for sure. How did that start? You know, how did that even happen?
Man, that is scary, man. On Facebook, it's had 26 million views, man.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Something like 1 in 300 people in the world have seen it. Like, that just blows my mind, man. Mm. I got how it came about, man. This awesome organization called Freethink hit me up after seeing an article about our school success in the Washington Post. And they're a production company out of D.C. and New York. And just a really organic organization that are looking to find people in fields who are game changers, who are being innovative, who are doing it different, who are challenging the status quo. And I guess they saw that in me, and I was humbled and privileged that they would want to pick me up and follow me around, man. They followed me around for about 3 months, and it really morphed. It started out as just focusing on my previous school, Occoquan Elementary, and all the success we had there, man. We went from like 35th percentile to like 90th percentile in the state, and we blew it up, man. We had scores in the high 90s, and just, man, we challenged the whole world and said we can be number one. And so they really loved the fun and the excitement, the energy we brought to public schools and to schools of poverty and showing what it could look like. And so what I loved about them was that it was really real, man. It was organic and real. You know, I've done some news media stuff, and there's a big difference between like the free think folks who are organic and real and gritty, and the folks that like do the sensationalism of looking for a quick, you know, hey, here's the knight in shining armor coming in, riding in. You know, it's not like that, man. I'm better because of the people around me. But that video, nobody saw it coming, man. We knew it would be good. We felt like we'd done something really awesome and really inspiring. We wanted to inspire, like, we want to inspire other people and show them a way. And they really bought into that story too, that as the story developed, you know, it became more about how can we inspire the others, man, inspire other schools. And, you know, kids deserve it, man. We would be in for all kids. And so it's blowing up. Like, I've had thousands of emails, people telling me their life stories and thanking me for changing their world. And it's so it was so overwhelming, man. Like, in our world, to have that kind of exposure, that's really crazy. It's really different. Knowing how to handle it was really weird, man. I've really ridden a roller coaster ride with that. You know, it became incredibly overwhelming at one point, incredibly exciting and incredibly scary. And at the same time, trying to keep it about my day job, which is being amazing for kids and teachers every day,
yeah,
and not getting distracted, not letting it become a distraction. And so, The pros definitely outweigh the negatives in that we've really inspired a whole nation and people all across the world, man. I don't think there's a corner of the world that I haven't heard from somebody about it, man. And just how awesome Dusty and Laura from Freethink were, man, and it was such a creative process where we engaged it together, man. We just kind of kept being really organic about the story we wanted to tell, man. And it just, it's blown up, man. There's not a place I go where somebody doesn't stop me and thank me or say, they're like, hey, you're that guy, man. But you know what it did for my kids? Man, my kids felt valued. They felt like rock stars, man. People had something to say about them that was great. And my school, man, it propelled my school right now to such an extraordinary height that's changed the outlook for my kids. And so that's made it all worth it, man.
I want to stay there in just a second, but I want the listeners to know the YouTube that you have linked up on your website. It will be available in the show notes. So if you haven't, two of the three or whatever that haven't seen the video of the 26 million views. Okay. You can watch it now. You have no excuse. So click on the show notes and check that out. And then Hamish's website, Relentless Learning, will also be linked up for you in the show notes. So principals, I think because of their role, are already under a microscope. Then there's a cadre of us that live our lives, transparently online. And I've seen questions in different Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups I'm a part of, you know, how do you handle sort of that spotlight? And then there's folks like you that are on a whole different level, you know, that I can't even fathom, that experience that kind of success and get emails from around the world, et cetera. And so what are some of those lessons learned? You said it's a bit of a roller coaster, but what did you learn from that experience that could apply to all of us that lead schools?
So I think some of the things is to never forget how you got there, right? Perseverance, hard work, grit, determination, those things. Surround yourself with good people. You know, I've learned that what I'm doing it has to happen. It has to happen on a bigger scale. More people have to do it. With the amount of attention I got from it, it said to me that what we were doing, the outlook we had on education, our philosophy on education, there's a hunger, man. There's a thirst for it out there. The world, the people want this, man. Society wants this. And when you look at your community, man, my community, it just, they feel good, man. They feel valued. And so I learned that stuff, but I learned, like, then there's some nuts and bolts, man. I learned, again, the value of being organized, keeping the main thing, like, mm-hmm. don't get caught up in the weeds. We have so many weeds in education and red tape and weeds and hundreds of emails and just learning to filter through that stuff to keep the focus, the main thing. And you can't get away from relationships. It's about relationships, man. Nothing else matters. If you don't have a relationship with your kids, your teachers, your community, you ain't moving the dial, man. You ain't moving the dial. Relationships are the number one, the most important thing. I don't care what you're doing, where you are, what kind of school you have. It's about your authentic, real, I mean real relationships where you're real with each other and you love them, man. I tell my kids every day, if somebody didn't tell you today they love you, Mr. Brewer's telling you he loves you. Like, mm-hmm. what are the words, man? What are the words of your building, man? One of the key words in our building now is love. We're not afraid to tell each other we love each other. And when you work through love and work through real conversations, accountability, expectation, greatness happens. And the other thing is, it's okay to want results. You know, I think education got a little scared of trying to have great performance, man. I love the fact that we're chasing 100. You know, we're trying to be our best we can each and every day. And this is the other thing I'm really committed to, dude, man. It's not a risk. It's not a roll of the dice. But I expect if we are amazing each and every day and our instructional practices are strong each and every day and we're focused on that authentic experience each and every day, everything else will take care of itself. And I'm going to tell you right now, testing, let me tell you, throw that stuff out. I like accountability. I have no problems with accountability. But we do not teach or focus to an exam. Those days are gone.
Absolutely. And I love the correct focus. I so admire that you're not scared of telling kids you love them, right? It's not in some weird, uncomfortable way. You're just telling people you matter, right? That's what you mean.
That's right.
I see you. I care about you like a son or a daughter, and I want you to be successful. And that's so important. It is all about relationships. That's when every podcast I listen to, every book I read, every mastermind I run or participate in, it always comes back to relationships. And then I like your focus on success, on chasing 100, but doing that in a micro way. And something I read recently in a book that I want to share with you and the listeners is comes from this book, Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss. And he says, based on everything I've seen, a simple recipe can work. Focus on what's in front of you. Design great days to create a great life. And he teases that out in some of his interviews. But what really struck me in this text is that, you know, you don't eat an elephant, right, in one bite. It's one bite at a time. And so by designing great days and then designing a great afternoon, a great morning, from there, a great hour, a great 10 minutes, and not wasting that precious time because every minute counts, then you get those results that you want, right? But it's by that incredible, incredible focus down into those micro moments that it happens.
Yeah, man, that's that sense of urgency too, right? That sense of urgency, man. Yeah. Well, I don't want to waste a minute, man. I want to lose a minute. A lost minute, bro, is a lost piece of opportunity. It's kind of like snow days. I don't want to hear nobody celebrate snow days too loud. You know, because that's a minute I don't have with my kids. That's a moment my kids are on their own. That's an opportunity for my kids to have something happen to them. You know, I want my kids with me each and every day. And, you know, we talk about the whole free think thing and my whole focus and what I'm learning. You know what? We in education, man, we got to stop being reactionary, man. We got to stop reactionary. We got to be the innovators of the world. You know, why can't we be the next Steve Jobs and Richard Branson's and Elon Musk, man? Why can't our schools look like Google or an Apple store and look like cutting edge, man? Like, we should be cutting edge, man. We should be on the front page of innovation, not like reacting to it or second best or playing second fiddle to that stuff.
That's a great question. Why can't we do X, right? Because a lot of times we fall back on this is the way we've always done it in tradition, which is absolute garbage in a way that people hide behind tradition, you know, to not get to change and doing things in a better way. But take me to the moment, Hamish, that's not so easy to have that realization. And
well,
at
it's
the
tough, man. It's hard,
so
right? Because
how did it happen? You removed no
hard,
and can't.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude, it's about having conviction, man. It's about having conviction and taking a little risk and surrounding yourself with the same thinkers, the same mindset people, man. Like, I can remember, like, years ago, I was sitting there and I was like, man, we're doing the same thing and the same thing is getting the same results, but nobody changes, you know? And I guess since I was young, I've always challenged the status quo. Like, I've always said, well, why? Like, why, man? Like, why? And so, you know, I've incorporated that into my educational philosophy. I'll never forget, man, I was rock climbing in Thailand and I was real scared, man. I was a little bit timid, man. And it was really funny. There was this guy, man, I was climbing with, a guy from Thailand, and I was talking to him about life. And you know what he kept saying to me? He kept saying, why not? Why not? And just that moment, I still got his photo on my wall, man, being from Thailand. Yeah. And I hope he's in good spirits and good health. I have no idea where he is or what he's doing today. But that man with nothing changed my whole world with the simple words of, why not? Like, why not? And then you have the conviction to follow through on why not? Like, why are we continuing to do this? Why are we staying and doing the same thing? It's not okay. We're shortchanging our kids if we keep doing the same thing, because the same thing is going to have the same outcome. And I got so frustrated with watching this happen again and again and again. And I said, uh-uh, never again, never again. So from that moment on, man, I live 100 miles an hour, man, a mile to the minute. You know what I'm saying? And I like the idea of just being fast and furious with it, man, with family. And focused on why not? Like, why not, man? Ask the question, why not?
Love it. And I read somewhere, ask that question at least 5 times to get really clear on your thinking and understand, you know, your reasons for doing what you do. You do that, you know, you're going to have that type of clarity, because you're going to have to answer those questions in a childlike, curious state. So we built you up. You got the 26 million views with the video. And we've heard of all, you know, so many of your successes within this podcast. But Hamish, I can't let you get away so easily. We have to learn from your mistakes too. And when you operate at 100, and like myself, I'm an activator. So I move really fast. And sometimes I forget that I'm leading people as well. And like you, a bull in the china shop, I've broken some things because I've moved so fast. So can you share what you consider a leadership mistake and what you've learned from it?
Oh, man, years and years ago. One of my favorite ones from years ago was, I remember being back in New Zealand, plugged into a leadership role really early in my career. I may be only been teaching 3 years, you know, not long enough to know which way to wipe my butt, bro. I was still new to it. And I remember the principal saying to me, I had to go and get some, I had to go and collect the planning of a veteran teacher who'd been doing it for 20 years. And I went to get the planning from the teacher, and she said, it's not there. I'll have it tomorrow. So I said, okay, I'll come back. Go back tomorrow. It's not there. It's not there. And then I was too scared to ask. You need to provide it, man. I've asked for it. You need to provide it. And so I learned this valuable lesson from giving in right at that moment and allowing it to be okay, that if I allowed average, then average is all I'll ever be, or an average is all I'll allow my teachers to be. And so I learned a valuable lesson in terms of that right there. And then also I learned the valuable lesson when I tried to do it on my own. You can't move from good to great on your own. You can't move the bus, and you can't allow for average people, for people that are naysayers and negativity. You can't allow negativity to live in your building or live around you, because if you allow that to happen, it becomes a cancer, man. It takes over. So I learned valuable lessons that way. And I learned from, you know, I've learned more from watching people get it wrong too. Like, I think smart leaders can take the good, the bad, the ugly from everybody, you know? and you can't be too good to sweep the sheds, man. You got a good mm-hmm. leader is the one that's on the end of a broom first and foremost, man. If someone's got to sweep the floor, you got to be the first out front to sweep the floor. If everybody's eating, you got to go to the back of the line and be the last to eat and let people eat in front of you. You know what I mean? And everybody has a place at the table. You welcome everybody to the table. When you make the mistake of not allowing everybody to be at the table, that payback is horrendous. So there's some easy ones, man. And just learning along the way, those kinds of things. I got a lot of funny ones where I painted furniture and broke rules like that, man. But yeah. But done nothing, man. Done nothing outside of those other ones.
Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. What's the worst leadership advice you've been given or you've heard given within our industry?
So some of the worst advice, one of the worst things that I've ever seen, and I'll never forget watching a principal take the kudos for somebody else's work.
Mm.
That gets me every time, man. When you see these people trying to take the kudos of other people's work, man, there's no place for that. There's no place for taking the shine off the people that have done the hard work, like your teachers and your students, man. Let them shine like a star, because if you let those people shine like a star, you're going to be a shining star right alongside them. So that's one thing. And then what's another one, man? Man, you got me on the spot now. That's awesome.
Yeah. One's enough. It's okay. I got plenty to go off of. So, hey, in terms of classes we should add to schools, can you think of a class that we should add that's not currently taught that you know of?
Man, I think the way to go is developing deeper and stronger partners with our corporate partners, you know, like taking our kids off campus more and putting them in the world, the real world, where they can learn in the real world. Like, I'll never forget the power of when I took a bunch of third graders and they gave a presentation to the organization, to the company that paid for all their laptops, their internet laptops. And they gave a board presentation on the impact that it was having on their education and how they were using it inside the boardroom. How powerful was that? And then the other things I like to do, like I have like an ambassadors program. I take my kids, my second language learners, and I put them right up in the chairs of their ambassadors. I make them feel like the real deal. More authentic opportunities for our kids to feel, to see the real side of it, to see it in real action. I think that's vital, man. And I'm really jazzed about this concept of I'm really trying to figure out and unpack how can kids truly own their day more. Like, let's say a kid wanted to spend more time on his language arts or more time on his math. Like, let him. Like, if they wanted to spend 3 hours on math that day, and they make these choices where they can come and go from a subject or a curriculum, I'm really intrigued by what that could look like for more kids. And the my latest that I'm exploring right now is, you know, school suspensions don't work, man.
Yeah.
You can't hurt or you can't give a consequence to a child that's tried to cross the border, a child that's got nobody at home. You can't punish a child like that, man. There's no punishing a child like that. And what can you do to build them up and hold them, make them stronger and better, you know, and let them learn? So I'm really excited by the work we're doing with our after-school program with our CrossFit, with Occoquan Bay, with the CrossFit. Man, my kids are on fire that are doing CrossFit 3 nights a week. Strong mind, strong body, strong behavior, all ties together.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, listeners, you get there by asking why can't we and why not? You know, you would never have those type of programs or rethink, okay, a kid wants to spend 3 hours on math today. Why is that not possible, right? Oh, just because we have classes that are 50 minutes,
right,
you have to take 8 a day, same 8, you know, Monday through Friday. No, why can't we change it up? So Cool. Well, Hamish, we have a couple of fun, easy questions and then a bigger one at the end, and we'll wrap it up.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what do you do for fun when you're not going 100 at your school?
Man, what do I do for fun? Come on, man. School is everything, bro. I'm going to tell you right now, I got an unhealthy balance. But nah, man, I love the summertime, bro. I love the summertime, man. I like to surf. I obviously like to skateboard. You see me skateboarding through the corridors. You know, one of my favorite all-time favorite things to do is to backpack. I've always loved backpacking, traveling the world, man, and going and having authentic experiences. I guess I live the same way that I live in school, man. My life is a reflection of what I do at school and at home, you know, so I'm truly living that. But that are my passions, man. Good coffee. And then like just the way we met, bro, the way we met, having all organic conversations, real conversations with people about life and philosophy and direction. And the world needs more of that, man. We need more of that.
If you could be automatically good at anything in the world right away, what would it be?
Oh, bro, that's easy. I would love to be able to sing. If I could sing, man, oh boy, one of my bucket list things to do, I'd love to be in a musical and sing in a musical. I just absolutely love people that have the ability to sing, man. I think there's no greater language than the art of music and singing, man. I make it such a huge priority in my school, the arts, music, and singing. I'm in love, man. It's so romantic. It's so sexy. Man. Yeah, you taught me that word too, bro. I'll never forget you saying, man, my wife is hot. She is sexy. You made me look at my own people around me a whole lot different, man. But the sound of music, man. I can't get enough song and music in my life.
That's awesome. Hey, a quick connection here too before we move on to another question. You know, it's so funny about singing, and then you talked about Andy Jacks earlier in this episode. I have a book coming out in 2018, and one of the things that I wrote on a number of different topics, and again, this idea of why not? Why can't we blank? And so the chapter teases out this idea of why can't school be the most amazing, the best place on earth, the most magical place.
Yeah.
A lot of people equate that, right, with Disney, the most magical place on earth. And I say, no, like it should be school. And so I give 10 things we can do. And I connect it to Andy Jacks because he makes school a magical place every single day, as do you. And, you know, listeners of the show, they can pick up the book when it's out and read it. But the other connection is I said, why not create a musical every single year, just completely new, write it, and give everybody a part in the school. And then that's what you do, Hamish, and now you're singing in your musical.
That's the truth, dude. That's the truth. I'm excited about your book, man. How about that?
Speaking of books, what would you consider a book every principal should read right now and why?
Oh, man, there's a couple out there, bro. One of my favorites, and I've given it to a few friends and was referred to me, Legacy by James Kerr, man. What's, you know, Legacy, and it's about my mighty fine All Blacks, the All Blacks from New Zealand rugby team, one of the most dominant sports teams on the planet in history, and talks about legacy. And about how you contribute to the team, how you contribute to the organization, to the overall goal, and that single-eyed focus, and nobody's bigger than the team, nobody outshines the team, and having that gang mentality. That's one book. For 20 years, man, I've lived my life around the fish philosophy. Have fun, choose your attitude, make someone's day, play. The fish philosophy has been huge for me for 20 years, man. And it's based on the Pike fish market out there in Seattle. I got to visit, man, where they throw the fish around. Man, that's been super, super powerful, man. And then I love reading a lot about what people are doing to take themselves to that next level, that next place. You know, I love that stuff right now. And I'm really excited about that, man.
Yeah. I've actually read Legacy myself, so I highly recommend that, to our listeners. It's cool. And, you know, not only about leadership, but if you want to think about an organization and what it stands for, vision, mission, and values, they live it out, the All Blacks, better than any organization I've ever experienced. So that's super cool. Okay. Last couple questions. What message would you put on all school marquees if you could do so around the globe for just a day?
For just a day. I think it's a lot like my last vision and mission, you know, my last message from my last school, where everybody's somebody, you know. School should be a place where everybody can be somebody, man. Everybody has a place, man. Everybody matters. I think it'd be something around that, man. Be something around that every single person is special, you know, like, and we're going to be amazing for them today. Going to be relentless for them today. You know, obviously it'd be cool to put up like, let's be relentless. I hope for relentlessness. But you know what, man? Everybody's going to be somebody somewhere, right? Why not be it at school? Everybody has a place. Let's make a difference.
Awesome.
Give love.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, Hamish, I'm proud of you. You made it to the last question. It's a big one, though. Uh-oh. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by your budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be on your top three priorities?
Bro, where do we start? Man, my top three priorities, man. God, now you got me on here. I got to tell you, man, I would want to – my imagination now. You know, I'd love – I joked with Andy. I said, man, I wish they could let me design next school, man. Give me the money and I'll go take it and design the next school, man. It would be a place built on collaboration, community. Imagine if you could bring everybody in, you know, spaces, organic spaces, transferable spaces, freedom to think, to explore, to let your imagination run wild, colorful. It would have lots of glass. It would have lots of light. It would be a place where people could come, and it wouldn't be just a Monday to Friday thing, man. My school would be a everyday thing. You know, if I could build a school, it would be a collaboration of everybody that wanted to be a part of it, man. I'd want to have everybody feel like they had a voice in that school, in the building of the school, what happens in the school, in the day, in the night. It would be a relentless space. It would be game changing, be innovative. Oh, man, I'm in love with that question, bro.
Thank you. I tried to take it away and the listeners revolted, so I put it back in the show when I took it out.
Yeah, man. Tunnels, secret passages, just lots of like really innovative, thoughtful, a place where kids remember when you were a kid and you just wanted to sit in a tree hut? Remember that feeling that
absolutely.
You'd want to sit in a treehouse, or you'd want to have a tunnel you could crawl through? I'd want all this sort of stuff where people could feel those juices, man. Get those juices flowing. Half pipe, you know, just like space and music and sound and touch and feel.
Well, Hamish, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. You have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Nah, man, it was a privilege, man. It was an honor, man. You're the best in the game, man. You're doing amazing things and like-minded. Change the game. My message to everybody is try something, man. Why not? Why not, man? Why not? Why not you? Why can't you be the change, man? We need to, if we all come together as a collective and change the game together, great things are going to happen. But I just ask you, like teachers ask me that all the time, what about, how can I be the difference? I always say to them all the time, make your classroom, make your corridor the greatest classroom and corridor. Make it a destination where people want to come and visit. Make it, and then it becomes infectious. Love, kindness, relentlessness, man, it becomes an infection, bro. It becomes infectious. You just can't get away from it, man. And surround yourself with goodness. And don't allow negativity to creep in around you, man. Hold your peers accountable for positivity, because it ultimately impacts our children. And then, man, you can find me on Twitter at BrewerHM. You can find me on my Facebook page at Relentless Learning, Hamish Brewer Relentless Learning, and then our website, Relentless Learning. And I'm the middle school principal at the greatest middle school on the planet, Fred Lynn Middle School. Let's go. Rise up.
Haha. And we'll have that linked up for you listeners in the show notes for sure. Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. go out there today and be a relentless leader. Ooh, I changed it up. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Hamish. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Hamish in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Hamish, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
My man.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.